And that links in really neatly with the question that Sir Bern DeGarmo has been in touch with, saying, what effect does exercise have on the brain?
I can talk, I think, reasonably about the effect of exercise on mood, because I very often say to people, you know, if you're feeling low, feeling anxious, feeling kind of under stress, get some exercise, because we know it has, you know, profound and evidence-based effects on mood, and whether it's walking, cycling. And I think that's one of the profoundly hopeful points out of all this, that actually the brain probably, it's not a fixed structure. Moods aren't fixed, they're fluid, and it's very hopeful because we can do a lot ourselves to change them in a positive direction.
And what effect exactly does exercise have on the brain? So Martin mentioned increased oxygen to the brain, and that can obviously be quite helpful to keep those nerve cells functioning optimally. But what other effects can exercise have?
We often think of exercise as just to keep fit and keep the rest of the body healthy, but it does have quite big effects in the brain. It's been implicated in what we call neurogenesis, and that's the ability to actually grow new neurons in certain areas of the brain, in the hippocampus, which is heavily implicated in learning and memory. There's some experiments on mice by Professor Rusty Gage, and he looked at mice in cages with running wheels and without. And the mice that had access to these running wheels actually grew lots of new cells in the hippocampus. And this finding has been extended to humans, so a lot of neuroscientists will now jog. In terms of mood, actually, there's evidence that exercise can help speed up recovery from depression. And it's associated with good mental health as people age. And to some extent, there's some evidence that it can increase the availability of serotonin and noradrenaline, so chemicals in the brain that are implicated in mood. And as a lot of people know, then that exercise stimulates endorphin release. These are chemicals, and when they're released, they bind to receptors in the brain. And these receptors that they bind to are involved in pain signalling, and they actually disrupt pain signals that you get. And so they would reduce some of the feelings of pain that many of us get when we exercise hard. And whether that's actually about the feel-good that you get from exercise, or whether that's that it takes away some of the pain, you can then benefit from the stimulation of some of the other chemicals like the serotonin in the brain, isn't quite clear.
Exercise can flood your brain with feel-good factors and increase the number of brain cells that you have and help with your learning memory. And also I found a paper where, so stress exposure, which causes lots of release of this stress kind of hormone, cortisol, you can become resilient to that via exercise, because exercise will increase this brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which helps protect against the cortisol stress effect, or at least in mice anyway. Increases your resilience, that's nice. But what about the fact that if you're feeling low, or if I'm feeling low, the last thing that I feel motivated to go and do is go out for a jog. And I love jogging most of the time. So how can you motivate yourself to go out and get these brain-boosting kind of positive effects of exercise?
It's a catch-22, and it is exactly that. You know, when you're in that place, you can't move. You just can't get out of the room. You can't get off the chair, let alone go for a jog. And unfortunately, that really does come down to the individual person. I mean, beyond having an app that bleeps at you, or a phone that's going to ring, or a friend that's going to bang on the door and say, come for a run, actually, at the end of the day, you have to get off the chair, and you do. And I always say to people, just walk around the block, walk down the road and back, because once you've got out of the house, and so many mental health problems actually are just to do with sort of cycles of thought. And once you're going in this cycle of thought, all you need to do is pivot. You just need to pivot that train of thought, which is going round and round, onto another one. And it could be the tiniest thing, listen to a piece of music, watch some comedy, you know, call a friend, anything. And you can almost feel it when that changes. I feel my eyes change, my whole mood changes, because suddenly I'm not going down that really bleak thing. And so the exercise thing is really a part of that. Just the very fact that you're doing that means that you're no longer going down one path, you're going down another. And you have to be the one to do that, unfortunately.
And just to back you up in that, there's evidence going back a few decades now for a type of kind of proto-CBT called behavioural activation. So actually getting things going, different behaviours, being more active, you know, particularly exercise, that type of stuff, is known to be very good for mood. And the clinical mantra is kind of day-to-day, really, is even if we don't feel like it, do it anyway, because as you were saying, if you do it 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, you'll get the benefits.
Has been suggested, it can be quite a futile gesture to tell somebody who's really in the depths of depression, for example, you know, to go out for a jog or to start eating healthily. But, you know, I think we can really sort of think about these things like other sort of physical attributes as well. So, you know, if you're if you're overweight, you know, you can't go out for one jog, you know, and drop 4 inches off your waistline. But you can prevent becoming overweight, you know, by exercising regularly. And I think this, again, gets to the sort of combination of using maybe pharmacological treatments, you know, to bring somebody out of the depths of depression, but then educating people on, you know, how to stay out of that state and how to avoid going into that state again. And that's where things like eating healthy and exercise, I think, are very useful.
That's one of the things which can make depression worse in a way, because not what you just said, but the idea of knowing what you know what you have to do. You know, this is what I keep saying to people over and over again. Nobody ever needs to read another magazine or you know, be told all of this stuff. We know this. And so it's the fact that you kind of sit there going, look, I know what I have to do, but I feel that I don't have the strength within me to do that. And that brings us back to the question, you know, about medication and intervention. If that's the crutch that you need in order to stand up, take that crutch, but you still need to walk, and no one's going to make you do that apart from you.
And just to go back to the point, because it's all about clinical change and psychological change, just that actually it's okay for that to happen in small steps, to get impetus going slowly. And there was some research a little while ago saying that a new habit takes about 82 days to form. So actually, you know, we can be patient with ourselves as things get going. It's not instant. We can work at it. That's okay too.